Good morning. Grace and peace to everybody. Brandon just came up and said, "How long are you going to go?" And I said, "I have no idea." And I really don't. But follow with me as I read Psalm 45, a couple verses. "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One." This is what I hope happens this morning, that my heart overflows with the theme of the King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not a scripted guy, so that's why I have no idea how long it will take. I have ripped up envelopes, marking some verses, and a lot of thoughts. And they do concern Jesus the Christ, and it will be, I pray, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, over the last weeks, there's been a lot of thoughts concerning where we'll be. You can open to Hebrews 10. That's where we'll be most of the time. And I've been chewing on it, and in the mix of that, you get another offshoot of truth as you consider one element, or you are meditating on this, but then a body member will bring another something before you, and it sends your mind going somewhere else but related, because it's all related to Christ. So, not being scripted in an outline form, what I pray is that there's some semblance of logic that you can follow, because otherwise it's stream of conscience all concerning the Christ, I think. But I'd like it to be logical so you can follow what I think. But that's where we'll start. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. God has blessed this King forever. So we are in good company as we come and consider the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. To start, just a report from abroad. I was at Reading yesterday, and it was the whirlwind tour. We left at 4 a.m. and got back at 2:30. But it was good, and it was so rich teaching. Eight different teachings that day. Six. There's a number of our brethren that are still there. Our pastor is still there teaching. It's encouraging portions that are shared with people you don't normally see. Those things are just a blessing. And just know that good things are going on in the expanded body of the Christ. Okay, so here's where we start. And I'm just going to let the logic of how the Lord inspired the writer of Hebrews to kind of direct. "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect." Okay, just to get the mindset, we are talking, this is a letter to the Hebrews, okay? This is Israel. This is early church, but Israel, okay? Which is different than late church in Israel, okay? So don't think of Jews that you know now, necessarily. Like, these are Jews that are believers, but at the same time, they could have family members that are still sacrificing, okay, that are still under law, and practicing it, and these have been enlightened. So the writer is considering that. So this is fresh law stuff, okay? For the law having a shadow of the good things to come. So let's also consider this. The law was given by Yahweh. It's good, okay? But as we know, it didn't save, as we'll read later. It's this performance, it's this tutor, as it's talked about, that brings us to the Christ ultimately. And these are to Jews that have seen Christ and believe. But again, the consideration is there's all these Jews, and they have just gotten out of this sacrifice system and law system. So it is the shadow of this good thing to come, not the very image of the thing, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. But those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. So again, put yourself as a Hebrew, okay? Consider what they grew up. If they're an older Hebrew Israelite, you sacrifice. You go to temple and see animals killed. You understand that this is necessary because of sin. You're reminded, your own conscience tells you, there's sin in my life. Yahweh, your God, says, without blood, there is no remission of sin. So this is a requirement. And you know that even though you sacrifice, you still sin. And it's just a covering. It's just an animal, but this is what I'm under. And if you've been doing it all your life, especially if you're older, and I just discount because kids may not get it yet, so I'll take the older people that are thinking about this. This is who I am. I am Israel, chosen of God. You know, I am. This is what we've done for thousands of years. The number of animals killed and sacrificed, the blood that is put before them, showing what is necessary, how God requires death, and it has to be a bloody death. This is what this law system has done, okay? That's what you're under. And you know it didn't do anything, because if it did, you'd be good if you quit sinning, right? So it doesn't fix your sin problem, you still have it. And you know that the substitute for the atonement, the animal that you brought, is really that representative. Again, we're talking with those words. I don't know that they had all those. They just knew that they had to sacrifice. And if they knew the scriptures, they would know that it's pointing them to the Messiah. But we have the privilege of looking back and having the whole book and easy access. And we can, you know, put in our keywords and really get a honed in train of thought. You know, everybody doesn't have parchment at their house. You know, they're going and reading or hearing what the leaders who don't get it, they're hearing them. But they did hear the Son of God recently. They have heard of those who heard him directly unveil this truth. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Now, consider this man who is not, you know, flamboyant, he's normal looking, it says in the scripture, wasn't much to look at. This man who's walking around truth incarnate quotes Psalm, I think it is. And it's in there. Sacrifice and offerings you did not offer. I mean, that's not a mystery. He didn't make those words up. But the thing that you're doing as an individual, God doesn't even want. Though that's what you're doing and feel required to do, okay, as a Hebrew, okay, as a Jew of the day. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So I'm doing this. What do we want to do? We want to please. We're pleasers. Those that are higher than us, we want to please. If you're a kid, you'd like to please your parents. Okay, if you're an adult, you want to maybe please your boss or your peers. Okay, you definitely, if you have religious structure in your life, you want to please your deity. Okay, and I'm giving credence to those who are deceived and have deities that don't even exist. But you, if you believe it, you want to follow it, right? So these Israelites, these Jews, they have Yahweh. They want to please Him. Okay, they've been given instruction. They asked for it. Okay, and again, I hope my mind. I mean, all these thoughts coming in like, geez, they asked for it. They were the ones who wanted it. God gave it to them, but only to point him to his plan that's ultimate, Jesus Christ, as we know. But he's not even pleased with what he tells them to do because it doesn't make them holy. Okay, the point is you do it out of obedience, but really, what it does to believers is just show that you believe in Yahweh and that faith has been saving you. You know, you're doing the sacrifices out of obedience, but really, before God, you recognize that you're still a crumb and you need Him, right? Okay? So knowing this truth, it's in the Scripture, but this man who certainly is a... I can't even imagine what they would refer to him as. You know, they didn't have the daily papers. He would have been in every day. You know, this is what Jesus said. This is, you know, whatever slant, whoever was writing it was on, you'd have those that testify of the miracles. Like, there's got to be a miracle section for when Jesus comes to town. Okay? So, but this guy that stands up to the religious hierarchy, those that you fear, you want to please, but you fear, they behold him speak to them, and they're saying, we've never seen somebody with authority like this talk to and correct, as he's 12 years old, questions them almost into a corner, like even then. So imagine when he's in his ministry years, perfectly cutting through tradition that's not really there, cutting through hypocrisy that is so apparent if you understand the word, and calling them on the carpet in judgment, yet, because they're prideful, yet to the sinner, which you can identify as a sinner if you're observing, he's got mercy. Like, this is, you know, the law says sacrifice. Bloody, bloody. This guy says you're not. God's not even pleased with that. So, just trying to get you in a frame of mind as we go through Hebrews 10. You had no pleasure. 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And just to get... to a farther part, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. So he's just repeating those things in the Scripture, quotes that the Lord has certainly counted as true. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. We're going to park here for a while. Okay, so Jesus, the Son of God, takes on a body to do this, to I just want to say it the way he did. Take away the first. Okay? The first is what God gave them. Okay? It's the law system. Okay? He wants to take away the first and establish the second. Okay? So the first, let's just consider how long the first has been going on. Okay? The law was given to Moses fresh out of Egypt in the wilderness for the people of Israel, for God's people. Okay? Consider, again, my mind's just bouncing, but just let's quickly go. The deliverance from Israel, okay, is the event that is always looked back on. Okay, if you're reading the scripture, they're always going back to what he did in Egypt, saving his people Israel, after they were in bondage and slavery for 400 years as a people. Okay, he delivers them. We know how he did it. They look back on this all through the Old Testament. This is Yahweh, the one who delivered us, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one. This is the event. And after that event, they get the law. The law in the presence, you know, you get my mind. I teach Exodus, so this is like bouncing in. They ask for the law in the presence of a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Okay? Yahweh is in their presence. Okay? All of Israel can see him. Okay? They've been miraculously delivered out of Egypt. He's in their presence and they want, give us a law that we can follow it. Instead of what? Just following Yahweh. He's leading them with a cloud and a pillar of fire. He's present, okay? But they want law. Again, if you're listening, and I do encourage you to listen with blood-tipped ears, look at Christ in here. He's in their presence and they're missing him. Christ in the body was in their presence and they missed him. Okay? We miss him a lot. Okay? We have the whole volume of the book and miss him sometimes. So be looking for him. But that's when the law was given. Okay? Right after, on the heels of deliverance from Egypt, miraculously conquering their enemy, they want the law. He gives them the law. Okay? Thousands of years. This is all prior to kings. Okay? This is all prior. They asked for a king. Okay, I'll give you a king. You know, again, all these things I'm allowing you because I can use this thing and it's just going to point you to my son that's coming. Okay? That's why God allows, like, why is he giving it? It's not the best thing. It's just pointing him to the best thing. That he's had this plan. It's not a surprise. You know, it's not, okay, I'll change my future history I'm writing. It's all good. It's all good to him. But to note that, so thousands of years they've been sacrificing in a temple that was set up in an altar system, in a sacrifice system that is totally do it this way. You're going to wear blue and red and purple. You're going to have white garments so that when you sacrifice, the blood is very clear and apparent. And you're going to burn this one and you're going to do this other thing with this one. All of these things that are, we get lost when we read them, right? Unless you're having somebody go with a fine tooth comb and point you. And even then, by the time you get through it, you're like, well, what did we just read? You know, that's me anyway. But it's there, and he did it that way, and it's all pointing to Christ. So, he came to do away with that first one. Thousands of years. A guy that doesn't look like much, as far as his appearance, is doing away with thousands of years. A guy that doesn't look like much is saying, ultimately, put the pieces together. You don't need that temple anymore. What? The temple has been built according to his specs, rebuilt according to his specs when it's been destroyed. That's all law. When you're reading that, don't just read it as in the law. There's substance there, okay? Know your own heart that if somebody comes up and tells you, oh, it's different than you thought now, you are not subject to change quickly. Okay? And for some things, rightly so. Okay? But we know that this is right. This is God that's doing this. Okay? So he came to take away the first that he may establish the second. Okay? Again, you're not going to get loads of point-by-point theology of how or why he could do it this way. We just know he did and it was right. But in order to take away the first, he had to fulfill it. Okay? So when he didn't sin, so he would have been under law and kept the law. Okay? Perfectly. The only one in history to fulfill the law perfectly. I wonder, I don't want to get sidetracked, but just chew on this. Did he ever sacrifice? He didn't need to. Right? I mean, I just wonder. Like, he didn't need to. So would it have been wrong for him to? If you have thoughts on that, tell me later. It's not the point. The point is, we know he was perfect. Okay? And in order to take away the first, he had to fulfill it perfectly. The first says, without blood, there is no remission for sin. So in order to take away the first, there has to be blood that satisfies the first. We know it's his blood. His perfection, his person, his eternality, his messiahship, his fulfillment of prophecy made him qualified to take away the first. But put your head around the who. I mean, if you don't get who he is, or you're figuring it out, you're ending this thing really abruptly. This 4,000 whatever years of law. They're telling you it's done. And now there's this second. Okay? And you're all and this writer's also referring to scripture saying, remember that first one? All of it, he had no pleasure in. He gave it to you. His pleasure is where? His pleasure is in his Son. God's pleasure is in his Son. It pleased the Father that he would crush his Son. That pleased him. I came to do your will. Your will was to crush me. My desire was to save your people, Israel, and we are the Israel of God today. Okay? Just start getting your head around. That's how he ended the first and established the second. He fulfilled the first and then established from here on out the thing that does please the Father. It's his Son. It's now clearly his Son. It is proclaimed to be his Son in his resurrection. Okay? It's always going to be his Son at this point. Those were just time. And again, God uses time to just establish truth. Okay? Or to glorify what he's doing. Okay? Lots of things we could say about that. But so, takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. So, that thing that they desired to be made holy, okay, Israel was up till They were special up until the crucifixion, up until salvation is open to all. They were the sanctified people through circumcision, through the law, through the walking. They're God's people. He wants them to be noted as God's people. Okay? By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Timothy has pointed out this in the last, yesterday there were teachers talking about it. Wednesday's teaching was great. And it was about Melchizedek, and he was in Hebrews a lot. And he was pointing out that when the Hebrew writer is very selective in the names he's using for Jesus, and sometimes he'll use just Jesus representing, I'm really pointing out it's just, it's his humanity. Okay. Well, right here, and I was cluing into that today, Jesus Christ once for all. Like the man, the Messiah, Jesus Christ was offered once for all. Let's remind why this can do away with the first. It's God in the flesh that did it. So the arguments can cease. Okay, I wanted to look at one thing. No, we're not there yet. Okay. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I'm just reading this. He's saying it. They're still doing it. Okay? And they have done it, but they are, at this point, I believe there would still be a temple. Okay? There would still be this sacrificing going on, even though Christ has risen from the dead and there are believers starting, the early church is going, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But as far as the temple timing or when Hebrews was written, I didn't do that research. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay, that's us. That's historically any believer after his time. This is the second covenant, if you will, established. The law has been fulfilled. The second is now. It's in Christ. He has perfected forever. The sanctification process, ultimately, and we can think about imputed righteousness. We know we still work out our salvation daily because we battle flesh desires and sin. But God's viewpoint of us is perfected forever because the sacrifice satisfied him. Get that in your head. Okay? It's big time. If you don't have it and you're carrying guilt or struggling through your insecurity, it's not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ did. You're viewed by the Father in the righteousness of the Son by believing. It's always been about believing. Okay? Let's go. From that time until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh, the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and in their minds I will write them. Okay, that reference is Jeremiah 31:33. I went there to look at just to see, because I like to see the context in there, and I wasn't disappointed. I'm going to read 31 through 34 in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. See this? It's always. This is your reference point. This is what I did. It was totally me. You're my people. Remember that, even though it's so long ago. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. Which, if he's the husband to them, they're his wife in that picture, just like the church is today to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my law in their minds and write in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh. For they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is what transpired in the transaction of the cross for the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. His forgiveness to his people, that sin has been dealt with. I will remember it no more, because the sacrifice was a worthy one. It's done. It's complete. It's in him. And this is, I'm going to put their law in their heart. Now I'm going to jump out. And for those of you who are there Wednesday, this is just a quick aside. It's brief. Monday volleyball nugget. This is the law now. Okay? It's really simple. My nugget on Monday was the Christian life is simple. It's not easy, but it has been simplified. Okay? So all the law system and sacrifice system is summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. As when the Pharisees asked the Lord in the days of his flesh, what's the greatest? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. In so many words, that's still what it is. And so we were looking here in, I'm just trying to point out that the law is not disappeared. It's kind of just boiled down. It's fulfilled in Christ, and then it's boiled down to this. For this we know, 5:1 and 2. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay? When we love God and keep his commandments, that's how we're loving each other. It's the simplification of the law. You are loving the Christ. That's how you please God. And you're loving his people. Okay? And if you're doing the law, which is summed up in the love your neighbor as yourself, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's the consideration that he puts in our minds. Because that's what his son did. He was obedient to the Father. To do your will, O God, is the thing that pleases you. Okay? It's simple. And it's not easy. Don't mix those up. Let's go back here and keep reading. But that was talked about in Jeremiah. And it's fulfilled now. It's fulfilled now because we're in the second. Okay, let's read that again. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I'll put my laws into their heart, and in my minds I will write them. In their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Okay, so... these Hebrews that he's talking to, it's sacrificing is done. You can say, whoa, it doesn't seem like we're Jewish or we're Israel anymore if we're not sacrificing. I want to say big deal, though I would be one if I was culturally there at the time. I'd probably have that, and unless by God's grace I was illuminated. Like, really? We're done? We're done? You have to be able to see Christ and what he did, who he was, and what he did to really understand that that really satisfied Yahweh. Know that they were being punished at times in the 4,000 years that they're doing it for not doing the law. Okay? Like a lot of, okay, I'm going to use this nation to come in. You haven't been honoring me, or you're honoring me and other gods. You're doing these things. Okay, punishment time. To bring you back to me. Okay? So for him to say, no more. Because, and it's not because the law, it's because the law is fulfilled. Sins are forgiven. There is no need for sacrifice when there's remission of sins, is what he's saying. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Park there for a second. Please put on the Hebrew, you know, mindset. They're pointing out this fulfillment of law. Only the high priest could go in, okay, through the veil to the holiest of holies. He represented you, okay? That's what they knew. He's saying there's no more need for sacrifice because this man, the blood, and he says there's no Christ there, there's no Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. You can. Imagine if you're a Jew. You're hearing these words. You, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Boldness. Why do you have boldness? Why would you be able to stand in the holiest with boldness? Because you're viewed as sinless. Because the sacrifice caused remission for sins. It's satisfied. You know, I mean, I'm pulling back and I don't have all the literature to back it up or the verse reference. But didn't the high priest wear bells on in case he just wasn't quite right? If they didn't hear the bells jingling around while he was behind the veil, they had a rope on him to pull him out. That's Yahweh. It's the same Yahweh. It's the same God. He's still that holy. His demand for perfection is still that way. It's not different. He's the same. But it was satisfied in his son. The sacrifice was once, but its effects are forever. That's where we should be living. That's what we should be thinking. We have boldness to enter into the holiest because the great high priest, Jesus, his blood satisfied by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. This is the end of the first. This is the new consecrated way. Through the veil, his flesh. His flesh was torn apart so that we could see that he is the Son of God in his resurrection. That's what it shows. You rip his flesh off. You kill him. And the things that he said are validated in his resurrection. But in the sacrifice, blood is there, required, fulfilled. Perfection. He's the lamb, the innocent lamb. If you were of his day or if you heard reports, you had to know this guy. He's something else. I mean, I don't know how you get your... I don't know how you view him as a child growing up without sin. I don't know how you view him walking the streets with such mercy, but perfect judgment when applicable, and the right perfect words. Humble when he has the right to be magnified. You know, I mean, it's, you just chew on that, okay? Which is where we're going. Through that, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, we're almost done. We're ending at 25. But this, I think, is important. And I don't know all the details, but I think this is, let us draw near. Like, this truth has been put before you. Okay? All the things we've talked about. We have boldness to enter because of the blood of the perfect high priest. Okay? So, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. In full assurance. That's not doubts, right? That's not wavering. That's not, Can I go to God? In full assurance. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, which he grants, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The evil conscience is the thing that says, no, that's not enough. Nah, you still have to do this. Nah, grace is different than the definition you know it is. You know, that's the evil conscience. Having your hearts with sprinkled. What's sprinkled? In the sacrificial system, it's the blood. Okay? Recognize whose blood is on you or in you or has been part of this transaction. It's not an animal. It's the Son of God who took on flesh for this purpose. Identify with him, sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So, understand where you are because of the blood of Christ. Boldly able to enter into his presence anytime. Anytime. It's not yearly at the temple. It's right here because he's here. I mean, if we read the truth in the book, it's in your bedroom. It's in your car. Anytime you have the boldness, because that which disgusted Yahweh has been dealt with on the back, in the hands, in the side of his Son. It's done. Okay? So identify bodies washed with pure water. I think, I'm not a theologist, but I think it's a baptism identification of who you are. Okay? Your disciples live like a disciple. Okay? You're a believer, so you should have an evil conscience sprinkled. Cover that. Get rid of that. Okay? Here's the whole point we're here. The last three verses. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Who is, you can say what is our confession, but it's really who is our confession. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What is our confession? Hold fast to it. Because he who promised is faithful. I said this before. If we could get this one truth, it's not about us. It's not about us. We are vessels to be filled and used by him. So there's not a comparison property. We're a body of the Christ. He's the head. It's about the head. You're never identified by the hand. Okay, the hand shouldn't be trying to, hey, look at me. You're identified by the head. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It's such big stuff. Our confession. Let us hold fast to this confession. Let us have Jesus Christ as our confession. He who promised is faithful. It's the victory is done. He's never leaving us or forsaking us individually. He's never leaving His body, ever. We can leave Him in a fellowship sense, but ultimately not in salvation. So get right with Him and know that it's about Him and have Him because He is faithful when we remain faithless. It's not about us. So the encouragement is hold fast. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. This is where we'll camp till the end, and we're almost done. You know who it is about? It's about Him. You know who He's about? Us. It's simple. We're about Him, the Son of God, who left eternal throne and to take on a body, a weak body, because He's about us. So, if you're about, if I want to love Joe, I'm going to be about what Joe's about. I'm not about what I'm about to Joe. Right? You don't bypass Joe's desires to try to bless Joe. Okay? If you want to bless Joe, if you want to honor Joe, you consider what Joe's about. And you do those things. We're back to love the Lord your God, personified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we honor the Father through the Son. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the Christ, the Son of God. That's His message, so that we honor ultimately the Father. But who's the Son about? I got testimony that He's about us. The will of the Father, the obedience of the Son, and it was unto death. No greater love has a man than this, that he would give his life for his friends. We're His friends. He's about us. We should be about us. Not about the natural, like, you know, when it says love as you love yourself, because it's not a problem to love yourself. That's really easy. We naturally are wired that way. That's why it's kind of the example. Okay? What I pointed out on Monday in the nugget was there's a little caveat. Because if you're loving, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Okay? But if the others don't do it the way you want to do it, you got to recognize that. You know, I'll use this. If you want to bless somebody with a meal, okay? If I love steak and that be the meal I'd want blessed with, I don't give steak to a vegetarian. Right? Well, wait. Do unto others as you would have done to you. I want steak. I'm going to give them steak. No. You consider what they want. Okay? And you give them that. That's huge, right? So what has to happen before you can act? Consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. What gets the best result? Leave kids out of it because they're different, each one. What gives the better result, to love somebody or to bark commandments? Which gives the better, longer lasting results? When they love you and are in appreciation, like, my mom really likes it when I put my laundry in the basket. Kid, I already go to kids because that's easy because we're father-son relationship, stuff like that. I get it, okay? I'm maturing enough to consider if I want to love my mother, I pick up the house because that's important to her, right? Cards all day, love you, Mom. Trashed room, trashed laundry, don't listen to her for chores. Missing the connection. Do you really love me? Because this is pretty easy. Told you to do these things, you know. So, considering one another in order to stir up love. It's reciprocated. When I'm giving Joe, I think probably likes steak, right? So, when I stir up and I'm like, Joe, steak's coming your way. You know what Joe says? Matt loves me. I'm going to think about what Matt likes. I'm going to do that. And good works. Hey, Matt has a like-minded to bless people. I know this guy over here and I need help to bless them because he's big time in need. You know, and that's where as a body, as a unit, as maybe a local assembly and maybe bigger than a local assembly, we get part of the body of the Christ, considering ultimately the head, because that's our motivation. Right? We're not just considering the body. It's not apart from loving God. It's while loving God, he's saying, and that's how we're led, right? Consider this person. This is the bruised reed. I'm going to point your head over here so that you don't miss this person that I need you to look at. Right? This is the, that person's doing okay. I know you like them. And it's easy. Consider this sister or this brother. Right? And that's how I find myself in prayer talking about working out this salvation, this Christian life. We all have paths we're on. They're different. I shouldn't look and say, why aren't you on my path? It's a different one. They cross. They cross every Sunday when we come and sit in the seats. We're here. The last part. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. The words are easy to understand. We all have a portion. I don't get your portion if we're not together. Okay? It's not saying forsaking the assembling on Sunday mornings. Where were you? We're going to take roll because we really want to be able to bless each other. That's not what it's about. It's about your heart and being together. There is opportunity to know about each other when you're together. And in the lives that we have, that we book to the T, planned out meetings are good. Okay, and that is opportunity. But that's not the only. And there's not a judgment of missing. And that's not what it's about. Okay, it's about you can't sometimes love someone if you're not with them. You can't consider them if you don't know what their struggle is. You know, you'll give them a steak if they're a vegetarian because you don't know. You got to know each other. And if you're a vegetarian and got a steak, love it. Don't eat it if you don't want to. But know that the heart was pure. Not forgive them. They were ignorant and say, hey, you know what? We don't know each other that well. And that's a two-way street. Right? That's the consideration for each other. That's the love, the sanctification, the holiness that people from the outside should look in on. What is up with these people? They love each other. And what should be identifying first is that they love their Savior, this King. the Lord Jesus Christ. So I end as we start in Psalm 45. And that's my encouragement for you. When you are about each other, or when you have the phone, or when you can email, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. What we tell people about Jesus is only what the Father has already said. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my focus. You want to love God? You want to be pleasing Him? Be about His Son, and be about what His Son is about. His Son is about grace. His Son is about mercy. His Son demonstrated forgiveness, ultimately. Believe it. He's faithful. We be faithful to His Word. And let us grow together in Him and mature in grace and be light in darkness to the world. Don't be in a bushel, under a bushel basket together. Let's spur each other on to good works, recognizing hands and feet and hair. Whatever. Parts of the body. Okay? We all are plucked out by God, by grace, to just be this body that He wants for eternity to be with. And He's made that way. So, grace to you in peace. Love each other.